Lime, duh. Yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians, the funny folk, dissect their wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
There's a lot of beef out here.
I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, the best professional wrestling joke on the whole fucking web,
Skull.
Baby. Dan Black.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre for the
W. A.K.A. Dunsky Blackamora. A.K.A. Donny Dirt Sheets. Bing, 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 bing. Donny Dirt Sheets. A.K.A. Papa Oat Milk. The Creatine Dream. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gabba, gabba, wee.
Gabba, gabba, wee.
Yeah.
Gabba, 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 gabba,
gabba. This girl, she's a mine.
Roman Reigns is always here.
And damn, hop, hop, hum.
This is hot girl.
Baby.
Dashing.
She's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action. For your satisfaction, with all of our spicy, muy muy caliente wrestling reactions. Wow. That Hikaru Shida music is annoying as fuck. It hurts my ears. It gets really good, though, as it keeps going. But anyway, everybody, welcome to the Comedian Wrestling Podcast. We're having fun. Caffeinated to the fucking moon, baby. Oh, man, I woke up. I worked out at 8 a.m. I fucking threw iron. I was like, I'm dead. I came home dead. I was like, I don't have the energy to podcast. Then I make a latte this big.
Cheers, man.
Yeah, there you go. Cheers. To the webcam, cheers. Just make yourself a nice 30-ounce oat milk latte, and you'll be ready to rock. Fuck, man. Before we get into all that, I just want to say something. It's not even on my list here, but I just want to say thank you to all the people posting your Spotify list showing that Cow Podcast is, like, a lot of times your number one podcast, and people listing it as their top podcast of the year. Seeing that reminds me, I always say this to you guys, like, we just do this pod, like, into the vacuum of yelling at each other, and especially in this year where we don't go into the studio and we lost a lot of the, you know, fun social elements of the pod, it helps to see that you guys appreciate it, and we have, like, such fucking diehard fans. It's unbelievable. Loyal. You guys, it's a lot of you guys have been with us for years. It's just... love to see it. Thanks, guys. And thanks for getting the word out there. Tell people about the podcast. If you have friends who like wrestling, man, I really believe if you have friends who were casual wrestling fans in the past, they can listen to this podcast. We're not fucking melting out over here. You know what I mean? We're not ranking matches out of stars and shit, you know? But yeah, so anyway, thank you guys. Okay, a couple announcements before we get into all the spice. That is this week in pro wrestling, and I introduce our panel for the week. sounds very official. This week's official panel for CowPod. Okay, a couple announcements before we get into this, which is that tonight, actually, if you're listening to this podcast the day this comes out, we will on AEW Dynamite this week has been transformed into. Winter is coming. So everybody, yeah, absolutely. Everybody, gear up. What do you say, Newman?
Just keep going. Finish your thing because I have something to say.
Everybody, winter's coming, which is also, by the way, the name of the pilot for Game of Thrones, if people didn't know that. But Winter is Coming is tonight. Me and Tulo will be going live on Zoom directly after the show for patrons at the $5 level. So if you're patreon.com/comedianswrestling, $5 and up, we're going to be recording our post-show Zoom. You guys can post-show podcast. And you guys, I had a little too much caffeine. You guys can tell, right? I mean, should I edit around this? Nah, absolutely.
Nah.
This is turning into the Comedians of Podcast.
Yeah, but so, so after AEW Dynamite tonight, aka Winter is Coming, after the Mox, the big Mox versus Kenny Omega match tonight, title about tonight, we'll be going live recording the podcast. If you're a Patreon member, you can join us on Zoom, watch us record live, and the way we do it is you'll be visible. If you throw up the cow sign, you can get your opinion. You can live cash in during the pod, and it worked awesome last time. So join us after the show if you want to talk about it, you want to hear us talk about it. And also, it'll be available normally as the bonus episode for this week. We'll be talking about the big match. So check that out. Another reason to give back to the podcast, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Also, our Cow Zoom Thunderdome, our monthly hangout, will be for the TLC pay-per-view, which will be on Sunday, December 20th. So we'll have more details about that. But if you want to hang out with us and watch TLC together, which is shaping up to be a very good pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So that's pretty exciting. And, yeah. Also, okay, one last thing. If you want to if you guys I just got some info coming in. This actually couldn't be more. I got a text just now that is exactly what I'm about to talk about, and we'll see if it comes in time to actually play it. It's a cash in. But if you have a wrestler who's become one of your guys, give us a 5-star ranking on Apple Podcasts, and we will congratulate you for having a new guy on your guy roster here on the show. And I got a text from somebody telling me a wrestler is one of their guys. But I'll read two of them right now. This is from PCH82. By the way, write your name in your review because it goes but your Apple name is PCH82. Which my guess is that's Philip. He says, Thunder Rosa is one of my guys.
Wow, congrats.
Congratulations. Big fan of the show. Great listener community. Get into it. Thank you. Caves, Texas. Okay? He says, Darby Allin is one of his guys. Also one of my guys. So congratulations. Do that. Rank is 5 stars. I have another one that's going to be coming in. He's telling me he wants it to be in audio form. So I'll play it that comes in. But someone we know, a friend of the show, is making a wrestler one of his guys. Big announcement.
Wow.
And for new listeners who are like, what's this one of my guys thing? You know exactly what it is. Okay?
For sure.
The epitome of one of my guys is Ultimate Warrior is one of my guys for life. I don't care that he doesn't know how to wrestle. I don't care that he was a dirty Fox News pundit. I don't care that no one could stand the guy. The Warrior was so deeply one of my guys as a kid. I saw him when his music hit, and he ran around the ring. He's one of my guys. It's not debatable, right?
Yeah.
If you're having a conversation with people, I just want to reiterate this because it's such a core value of the Cow Podcast is that no one controls who your guys are. That's your individuality. Yeah. That is your personality, right? You could debate if something's good or not, but the way you shut down the conversation is, hey, listen, dude, he's one of my guys. It's not up for debate.
And the same way Ultimate Warrior is one of your guys, Dominic Mysterio is one of my guys. So it's perfect. It works out. You get it all over.
Just
all
straight up pathetic, but it's
further,
fine. He's one
further
of your
illustrating
guys.
That one of your guys can be literally anybody.
Some people's guys. Some people have Dana Brooke as one of their guys.
That's
true. I mean,
the Dana Brooke constant.
Yep.
Yeah. The Brookalites. I mean, what are her people? I don't know what they are.
The Flex
Brooks. The Brooks brothers.
The Brooks brothers. It's just two guys. It's two twins. Oh man. Anyway, guys, a lot to get into. So, yeah, just remember, support the podcast, give us 5-star rating, tell people about the show, post about the show, go out on a limb for the show, baby, because you don't know. We could Thanos this thing any day. Who knows? You know what I mean? oh, my God.
So would that mean only 50% of the pod exists? Or?
Guys, I got to play a new announcement for the show. You ready? I haven't heard this, okay?
Live.
What up, jabroniacs? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, a.k.a. Skylar Astin, a.k.a. the name dropper. I just wanted to hop on here because I have some very important matters to discuss. I've been watching a lot of wrestling up here in Vancouver as I've been filming season 2 of my show's Always Extraordinary Playlist, premiering on NBC January 5th and available on Hulu and Peacock as well. But while I'm up here watching wrestling, you know, some shows are a little more fast-forwardy than others. Something that I cannot miss, that I've been paying very close attention to, is Roman Reigns' progression as a heel. I have been enjoying it so very much. It was really kicked off for me on the one pay-per-view with Jey Uso when he was in the center of the ring, kind of crying, having an emotional moment as he was beating up his cousin, but still remaining a heel. That took some nuance and that took some real acting, and those were real tears. But apart from that, he looks so goddamn good without the vest. I am so happy. Maybe we'll eventually get a new theme. Maybe we'll get rid of the dog and the logo of him doing the Superman punch. So a little too baby face for me still. But he'll get some tribal stuff. We'll see head of the table, you know. Can't wait for a head of the table match at TLC. Come on. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. But what I really, really want to state here right now, and I'm not going to do what everyone thinks I'm going to do and just flip out. But what I want to do, see, the fact of the matter is, when someone you idolize, table, and you don't have a favorite wrestler at the moment, used to be Seth Rollins for a while, still love Seth, just can't claim a number one spot. That is why, with no subtlety, I want to declare Roman Reigns one of my guys.
Wow.
He is one of my guys forever. His story, yes, was it late? Did he have to headline many manias? But did that all contribute to where we are now? Yes, we can't change the WWE universe. Mm-mm. And he's fitting in and slotting in right where he needs to at this very time. Mm-hmm. And all of that is now just backstory. As he progresses as a heel, maybe gets away from the family stuff, leans into the family stuff, he is leading the charge with Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman is not his mouthpiece, and we see that now. We see that he believes it with all of his adrenaline, with all of his work ethic, the way his body looks right now. Everyone laughs at vestless Roman idea, and how we keep mentioning it, but it's here, and it's here to stay. He'll eventually become a babyface, I hope in years to come, not months, of course. But it will happen. And that is why, for the many reasons, Roman Reigns is a survivor. Roman Reigns is a chief. And Roman Reigns is one of my guys. Cheers up.
Let's go, baby.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that was breaking news. Skylar Pitchman. But can we just say, before I say, what, can we just compliment Skylar for a second? What a performer. I mean, that's just a message. That's a first draft message he wrote to me on my phone. He knows to introduce himself. Fucking no, unapologetically is like, yo, here's my credits. Here the fuck I am. Yeah. What a he's such a wrestling fan. You gotta love
promotes
him.
The show.
Skylar Astin's one of my guys.
Yeah. I'd like to announce that Skylar Astin is also one of my guys. Thank you.
All right. Newman's still waiting. He's still waiting.
I haven't seen the mean streak yet. I want to see what happens.
Yeah, you're waiting for the Skylar heel turn.
Now, like,
you got to see him as a heel.
And I'm thinking top five sells of a super kick of all time. Skylar Aston is in there for me easily.
One of the best takes of a super kick of all time is Skylar Aston at Calmania 1.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I have it on video. It's unbelievable.
There's that iconic photo of him like
yeah.
halfway down already.
I mean, Skylar Aston as a referee, I mean, he's one of the greatest refs of all time, and he's only done, I think, one match to date. Anyway, here's what I want to say. Okay, so congratulations to Skylar Aston. And if you want to be part of this One of My Guys, don't. All you got to do is give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and say a guy. I am, just to let you know, I'm sticking to where I'm at, which is Roman Reigns. I've been burned before by Mr. Roman Reigns. I'm glad you got, I'm into it. I have no argument. As a matter of fact, not only do I have no argument, look at these shoes. I bought the sneakers that Roman's wearing right now.
Wow.
You don't see the hypocrisy in this.
Aaron found them
for me. The shoes that he wore because he wore them.
Yeah, and you look so good in them. And I'm going to look like some fucking geek Jewish guy walking around LA and thinking I look cool with some jump pants because Roman Reigns wore them.
You're easily – that added 15 to your max bench. Like easily.
Yeah.
Easily plus, those shoes.
Plus 15 strength.
But here's what I'll say is that I said it this. I'm sticking with my decree. I will decide if Roman Reigns is one of my guys the Monday after WrestleMania 37 coming up in April, hopefully in L.A., which is definitely not going to be in L.A., but that's it. But also, I'm not the only one to feel this way, by the way. We got a cash-in, actually. And by the way, I haven't been pushing the cash-ins because we'll bring the cash-ins back. You can still cash in if you want, 316-530-2429 if you want. But we'll bring it back more when we get into Mania season. That's when you guys get really fired up with the cash-ins, you know. But we did get a cash-in, I think, is on this topic, and we should play it.
All right.
Jay Dollar Sign on the line, and you're welcome for the time. I'm cashing to say, Dan, you're wrestling with loving an addict. That addict is Roman Reigns, and the drug is the Jabron Zone. When Reigns is clean, best free, and veneer sneered, he's our guy. But it's dangerous to make Roman one of your guys because he can hurt us all if he reinvests himself in that drug that is the babyface persona. I'm throwing it all in, though. I'm saying, F that danger. Danger is cool. Roman Reigns, one of my guys. Get on the bus, Dan.
Wow.
I'm cashing in as a superstar, but I'll let you know I have logical and beautiful humans who agree. The nasty one and the first lady, Miss Finnerty. Sincerely, yours. This is J Money.
What up? Congrats, man.
Okay. So he's making Roman Reigns one of his guys. I seem to be one of the last holdouts. And the only one who agrees with me about holding out is Shibiro.
I mean, he's not one of my
guys. It's not a camp you want to be in, but that is where I'm at. Anyway, let's get into talking about wrestling this week. But anyway, we'll see a bunch of you tonight on the Zoom. Or if you're – what flavor?
Oh, light, duh.
Oh, yeah, the lack of flavor. But we'll see about you after winter is coming tonight. Okay. First thing we're going to get
before
into
you
everything.
Move on, before you move on, the fact that this is called Winter is Coming.
Ridiculous.
Look, and I'm not taking a dig at AEW. This is certainly a problem that WWE has as well, but it is the thing that will keep wrestling in the fringes. Is that their sensibilities are the kinds that will say, hey, let's name a pay-per-view or let's name a big match after a show that has been off the air for more than a year. It's an indictment of their pop sensibilities, and it is exactly the anchor holding the entire genre back from breaking into the mainstream.
Game of Thrones has not been gone long enough to be cool again as a reference. Yeah. I'm kind of conflicted about the Winter is Coming thing. It's because
on
one
hand,
it is a unique. I love the branding of like the picture, the photos and stuff, like the whatever the skins of the you know.
But it's
the graphics.
You know, it's just.
But it's exactly the HBO thing. But wrestling does pull from pop culture a lot, and that sometimes works really well, you know? So it's tricky. It's the difference between cosplay and influencing, you know?
Name a time.
This is exactly. No, this counts more as cosplay. I agree, because it's exactly the name of the pilot. Mm-hmm. Winter is coming. It's exact. So it's just copying, right? So it's the same thing as when fucking Jabroni Gargano comes out in Wolverine costume, right?
But name a time when wrestling has made a pop culture reference that was like on point with the zeitgeist. Like, when have they ever?
No, they're yeah, always like, behind. Ever. Bro. They're always behind.
It was like the time when WWE brought out the Ball family and like LaMelo and Lamar, like Ball, like out. And you're like,
8 months.
I mean, why? Because they're, yeah, like.
But listen, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Well, but I'm saying is that winter is coming. Yeah. That being said, I'm saying my conflict with it is that, like, it does look cool, and it is a cool way to make a Dynamite feel awesome. And I like the name.
It's
Winter's
also going
to
be 44 degrees. Like, literally, it's going to be winter.
In Florida?
It's 44 degrees tonight.
And they're still wrestling outside. It's awesome. I love that. But here's the thing is that what gets me frustrated is everything being like revolution, execution, retribution. Oh, really? Yeah, right? And everything is like that, you know? Like evolution, revolution, execution, institution, whatever.
Evolution.
Yeah. And you're like, so like your winter's coming felt is kind of like a breath of fresh air. Backlash, vengeance, like, right? So I was like, oh, it's in that way, it's really good. But yes, it's not even just derivative. It's plagiaristic, you know what yeah. I mean? So I agree.
I'm actually shocked they're getting away with it.
Well,
like, how are they able to use it?
They're just saying winter is coming. It's like it falls under still, like parody, like, you know. Same way SNL can do like what they do, you know. Right. It's kind of like
I just feel like that line would be trademarked, wouldn't it? Like, how is there no trademark on winter is coming?
I think it's vague enough that.
No, it's not. It's not the winter. Yeah. It's not like name. They didn't call
it. The Farmer's Almanac actually has the trademark on Winter's Coming.
Is that true?
Fun fact, people.
It's fun fact. I'll see you guys later.
All right, I'm out.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. So we got to talk about this. Pat Patterson passed away. No easy way to really broach that subject. 79 years old, which is, listen. You know, he lived a really amazing. He had an amazing career and an amazing life. I mean, I always say this on the podcast is that I am so bad at eulogizing these wrestlers. You know, the legends and stuff, and giving them. I feel like I cannot do them justice. So what I always say is, take time out of your day. You know, go on the WWE Network. Watch a Pat Patterson match. Go on YouTube. Watch a Pat Patterson match. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Appreciate his work. But look, guys, if you like the Intercontinental title, he's the first Intercontinental champion. He's a creator of the Royal Rumble. His impact on pro wrestling, you know, it's funny because I remember him the most, just given my age, as like one of McMahon's like stooges. But also, he's came out on Legends House and is one of the first openly gay wrestling icons that I know, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's some gay wrestlers here and there, but at that level in that company, you know, not to mention, I think his most lasting legacy is just go on Instagram, look at every wrestler telling stories about the guy and what he meant to them. You know, backstage, he's always been there. So give Pat Patterson, you know, I don't think anybody underestimates the importance of Pat Patterson, any modern mark. You know, it's rare to have someone who at that age still feels so relevant. There's a couple of them. It's him, Arn, Flair, you know, a couple of these guys still hanging around where you're like, man, they matter so much. They've survived so much to still matter to this company. There's a reason for that. So I know what I'm going to do is I'm going to check out I'm going to get well versed in Pat Patterson, which I probably should have done for a long time, you know? Rest in power to the first Intercontinental champion. All right. I'm going to jump into something that's equally bleak.
You did a really good job of that.
I did?
I mean, you said you're not good at it, but I thought that was a good, really solid job.
Better, dude.
You know what it is? It's always like,
That was really nice.
Yeah. What can you say? Good job. It's just like, it's always, you know, you know. Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. Thank you. What can you say? You know what I mean?
Yeah. R.I.P. P.P.
Yeah. I had a weird moment. Like, I had a weird moment today where I was going to Google the movie Killing of a Sacred Deer. Okay. But as I'm typing that into Google, it's killing me. I'm like, I'm just casually wanting to get some facts about this movie that I because I thought it was a cool movie, right? And then it's like Killing of George Floyd comes up first, and you're like, wow, you're like, wow, it's amazing how that context can switch. And I think like if I'm making some kind of weird roundabout point, that's always why I feel like. Talking about the legacy of a wrestler is almost disrespectful on this podcast where we're a bunch of clowns. You know what I mean?
I got you.
And so, thank you, Tulo. That meant a bunch to me.
Yeah, no problem.
But check out Killing of a Sacred Deer. It's a fucking cool movie. You didn't like it, Novin?
Starring Pat Patterson, right?
Pat Patterson's amazing in it. He plays Nicole Kidman, yeah. Which I thought was really convincing. Okay, here's something equally bleak. You guys ready?
Yeah,
I promised you guys I would lead the show with this. Don't worry, we're only a half hour in. How long till it's okay for Trump to come back to pro wrestling? Is there a time on that, Newman?
To be fair, has he ever really left?
I mean, folks, yeah, of course. I mean,
This is
Vince McMahon's greatest booking of all time. Is that
look? Look. I like to keep my politics out of wrestling. I actually watch wrestling as an escape.
Sure.
I'd rather not, you know, have somebody with an agenda.
I respect that.
President being on WWE.
The only reason I thought about that was I was watching what Sammy's doing. Yeah. And you're like, imagine you can bring the ex-president of the United States into this and have Sammy heel off on him.
Wait a minute. That changes everything.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine Sammy Zayn talking shit about Thanksgiving to the former goof president of the United States? Like, we have I accidentally elected this fucking moron to be the president for 4 years, and now we get to use him as an actual president, you know, like in wrestling storyline. I mean, it's maybe, listen, here's what I'd say. If it means he uses time doing that over actually starting a real news network, I'll take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He would have to, like, they would have to job him out, though. Like, I don't want to see him do anything that makes him, like, a threat in that realm.
You don't want him back with Lashley?
No. I think Lashley should fucking choke him out in the middle of the ring.
Oh, anyway.
All right.
Well, I'm asking you honestly, okay? Honestly.
Yeah.
How long till WWE can get away with having Trump involved in a WrestleMania storyline? Is there an actual amount of years? Like, honestly, like, project forward.
I don't think so.
Four years.
Yeah, I think 4 years is might even be, I would say, in three, I think they can pull it off, no question.
Right.
No, have a Trump versus McMahon rematch where they both choose, and they kind of just ignore it. They're like, the former president's here. He wants to take over wrestling, and they ignore, you know, how people will forget. It'll work. No, I think in 2 years they might be able to get away with it.
I mean, honestly, 2 weeks he'll be in there. He'll be there this Mania.
Right.
Well, I can tell you what,
inauguration.
It won't happen until it can happen in front of like 80,000 people because he's not going anywhere unless there's a crowd. So,
right. And also the ramp, they got to make sure it's at the proper angle. We know he's very slow down the ramp. They couldn't do it in Florida. You guys remember the WrestleMania 33 ramp? He couldn't make it. That was an 80-foot ramp. I don't think he could get down there. Imagine Trump doing that ramp walk, that slow-ass ramp all the way down. His music's playing. There's a restart. Hail the Chief like 40 times over and over. Oh, man. Anyway. All right, let's talk about pro wrestling. I think we should start, since we were talking about Winter is Coming, I think we should start with Winter is Coming. Just do a couple predictions. We're not doing it like a proper pay-per-view prediction thread, but there's only two matches that are worthy of predicting, and that's Kenny versus Mox and the Battle Royale. because that's for like the diamond ring. Those are the only matches that have actual like stakes.
Right.
There's just like exhibition. There's like, you know, Kazarian versus Jericho, which could be a fun, cool match, you know, stuff like that. But okay, let's start with this. Let's just start with Omega versus Moxley. Why not?
Yeah.
Do you guys think Kenny's going to take the title off Mox tonight?
No.
Shit, it's tonight. Oh my God, dude. Yeah, I'm like mentally thinking I have like four more days after this to watch this.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre for the
I have a feeling that this match is we're not getting a winner tonight. I think something's going to happen.
Schmoz?
Yeah, I feel like it's just all happening. Just like the turnaround is also way too quick for Kenny to win the title. And the build-up doesn't feel right, even though people are saying this is on Austin Rock level, you know? I mean,
yeah, it's also not like Renee's not that pregnant yet.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have an opportunity to do something really cool tonight. And Kenny taking the title off him, like I feel like these guys could just beat the shit out of each other where they got to, like, some version of the ref has to stop it because he's like, this has become not a match. And then, yeah. Right?
Well, the last time was it that, I don't know, or maybe the first time they went against each other, I mean, there was that, like, was that crazy glass table spot and like
through the barbed wire, netting.
Yeah. So they're, I think you're right. I think they're going to, it's going to get gross at some point, but like, I don't see Kenny winning because I mean, Kenny, this match is really, it's a guy, Moxley, who like confirmed fucks, right? And that versus Kenny, who is the world's biggest virgin. It's just is not
that's his
on
gimmick?
His side. Yeah, it's not. He's not. He's a voluntarily celibate virgin.
Oh man,
the energy's not there for him.
My I can't believe it's fucking it, dude. Oh,
you didn't know? Correct.
I gotta up the sound on that drop. Yeah. But yeah. So
it's very good.
But yeah so. I think you have this amazing opportunity where it's on just a Dynamite. It's free TV. So if you schmoz it up, no one's going to be upset, right? So why not? What I would just do is double count out, fight into the back. Then people start breaking them up. They beat the shit out of those guys too. Like, just
the only reason
why
that's
insane.
Not
going
to happen. Only reason why that's not going to happen is because Kenny wants it to be a wrestling match. So the tables and the things aren't going to, I don't think are going to play
Moxley,
into this.
Moxley doesn't turn into one because Kenny will start acting like Kenny will do the first move to make it not a wrestling match.
Right.
And then Moxley, same thing they did with MJF, remember? Or I don't know. They don't have to go that way, but like,
I mean,
something will happen to piss him off. Kenny will make it personal. He'll do, you know, maybe they'll have Renee there and he'll like,
this is like the closest
kiss her or something. I don't know.
This is like this could main event Wrestle Kingdom. Like, if you think about it, like if these two guys were still, if AEW didn't exist, we'd probably be watching this at Wrestle Kingdom like this year. This would be the main event for the title, right? Kenny versus Moxley. And that's an honest opinion. So the fact that we're getting it on a Wednesday night, it all feels too rushed, and it's funny because I always say that they drag all this shit out. But if you think about it, the journey for Omega to get here and where Mox has been, what he said about Mox has been all over the magazines and stuff. So it's actually a long story, and they've been telling it for a while, you know? Yeah. And now we're here, but also it all just happened in like within a month.
Right, so it feels like we're all agreeing no contest. You know, what's the mistake I've always made? I always say it on here. Is that the mistake I make is thinking a pay-per-view matters, right? Mm-hmm. That's the mistake I think, like, and I won't care if it doesn't matter because I'm not paying for it. So they have this amazing opportunity. So I agree with you. I would say this is going to be a double count out, something schmozzy, like something that's not neither of these guys are going to win. And if one guy wins, it's by DQ, you know?
Tony also said that he's willing to, like, my boy Tony Khan, not
Big
Tony T. Shade, Tony Khan.
Big TK.
TK in the house. Tony Khan said he got the approval from TNT to go overtime. So if the match doesn't end at 10, they're gonna
Are you kidding me? They allowed them to push back to a Fast 5 replay.
Actually,
are they okay with starting Fast 5 4 minutes later? I don't know.
Almost had me. You never had me. You never had your car.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's Toretto. It's Dominic Toretto. Oh my God, he's coming. He's bled over. We bled into Fast Five territory.
He whips his car up into that little alleyway. You know, it's just like halting in the fucking Camaro or whatever it is.
Oh my God, it's Paul Walker. Oh, Paul Walker's back. Oh. Anyway, guys.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, so I think we all agree there. What do you guys think about this battle royale for the Dynamite ring? I mean, they just threw all these guys into this match, it looks like.
Yeah, I think it's just lame. You know, like, I think it's, yeah, they really just had a battle royale. I said it, why not use this as an opportunity for the women? Like, oh, this year the women get the ring, you know, and then give it to someone like Britt Baker. Imagine what Britt Baker could do with a sick diamond ring or something like that. And then
there's two outcomes for this match.
Hangman?
No, there's two outcomes for this match. It's just have MJF keep it, and then it's like he does anything to keep that ring, and it's like that's the thing. Or give it to Sammy, and then MJF is like so pissed that Sammy has his ring, right?
That's, yeah. Yeah, damn, that's good. They're probably going to go inner circle drama with it.
Right. But there's other way to go with it. There's actually no other.
Hangman's the only other way.
What does Hangman do with it, though? What does that do?
I don't know. Cowboys always got their treasure that they're after, and that they, once they have it, they like flaunt it. I think you should melt it down and make it into a belt buckle, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I would love if whoever gets it's always melting it down. I got no problem with that. Okay, so, all right, moving on to WWE stuff. Raw and SmackDown this week. I thought they were both okay shows. Had some really high moments, though, which is what's been happening lately. I had this thought where I was like, man, like, you know, because I know wrestling, you know, goes in cycles, right? Like, this is kind of the downtime of wrestling in people's minds, you know? And I get it. It's hard to watch wrestling all year long. We all always say wrestling should be in seasons, technically, you know. But, man, the good shit is so good right now. And mm-hmm. I feel like I say it every year around this time, around the Survivor Series, TLC, like, time, where I'm like, this is where, like, stuff happens that... It's where they book things that are stuff people want, but then they don't. They're matches and opportunities that people want to see wrestlers get, but they happen now when people kind of dip out, right? And then people complain when it starts getting to Mania season when they start booking it more mainstream. And I'm like, well, just stick around at this time because, like, right, on Raw this week, we got to see literally a match that was Matt Riddle versus Keith Lee versus AJ Styles, which is a match that you would never dream would happen, you know?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how quickly people write that off. We get to see that for a number one contender spot against Drew McIntyre for the title. And meanwhile, Drew McIntyre is the champion, which is a guy who beat Brock, you know? So it's like, wrestling fans, we gotta hold ourselves accountable here, which is like there is good shit happening and it's on the main roster, it's amongst truly awful shit like whatever Retribution's up to. I'm not even wasting any time talking about those idiots on this show, but right, like like that match was fucking killer, right?
Yeah, I was thinking this the other week too. Like, I know this is traditionally like the lull times, Daddy, but like, It's maybe one of the more memorable lull times that I can kind of fathom. Like, there's so much cool. I mean, how cool is like all of, we've said this before, but like all the like top card shit is just firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, but I would argue that these are not. My argument is that these are never the lull times for
maybe there aren't lull
for times. The real fans. Right. You know, because like not for the real fans. That's pretentious. I don't like that. But like, for the true marks and the marks we're watching all year long, they get frustrated by stuff we get that's predictable, formulaic, and driven by, you know, when Cena was around, it would be like, oh, here, you know what's going to happen. It's all Roman. They push him back into the title picture. All wrestlers jammed down our throats. But I feel like interesting shit. Like, if you remember around this time, this is when, okay, this is kind of goes against the grain a little bit, but Brock got beat by Goldberg at Survivor Series like a couple years back. You know?
Right.
Like that was fucking cool. That's like yeah. So I don't know. And then those, I'd have to go look up exact examples. But also, we get some cool matches when there's title shot crossovers. You know, we got to see Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan. Like, when will we see that match?
Yeah,
we AJ versus Brock Lesnar. We got some really cool stuff at Survivor Series. So I don't know. In my mind, when was like No Mercy? That No Mercy, we got to see Roman Reigns versus John Cena. Remember that in the Staples Center?
Yeah.
Like there's some stuff. I know I'm naming like guys that are more mainstream. It's kind of going against my point, but I am saying that interesting booking happens in these times between whatever Vince's vision is for WrestleMania season. You know?
Yeah. What I'm wondering is when you're going to intro Tulo and I.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Correct.
yeah. Tulo and the Nasty One and Nasty Newman and the Smart Tech Nick Tulo on the show today. What's up?
All I wanted to do was get an intro so I can show everybody my new Crocs, you know? I mean, game changer. Get yourself a pair of Crocs.
Beautiful Crocs. Leopard whatever. Crocs?
Leopard, yeah.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Shout out to Kai. Kai, my boy, had him on in like one of his like Instagram posts. Right. I'm like, I need those fucking things right now.
He's an influencer.
I literally bought that shit like immediately.
That's hilarious.
Cha-ching.
Sorry guys.
All right.
But anyway, I just think there's a lot of cool shit. Like
well,
right now,
you know,
people are I'm just saying, like people are gonna complain about the times right now, but I feel like AJ versus Drew, we've never seen that. You know?
I mean, we get it across. If you look at what's going to be coming up, I mean, you can easily say every title actually has some kind of significant storyline going around it. I see titles hot. Sammy's doing a great job. Right. Even the U.S. title will now going to get Riddle and Bobby Lashley. That, for some reason, I think that's going to be amazing. You got the tag team championships are their weakest points, but you have very charismatic people holding them. So you have New Day and you have Street Profits. So anytime they're on TV, it's almost like, wow, this is entertaining because it's four really charismatic dudes on TV. And then even the women, Sasha, you got Asuka. I mean, Raw, the biggest thing is that SmackDown feels like more of a TV show, and Raw is kind of like too long and doesn't know what the – it's got
yeah,
like no
it's
identity.
Three
whatsoever.
Hours, it becomes this weird variety
It becomes
show.
A variety show. Yeah.
Right. And that's, and, you know, Vince has said that that's what we do, but Raw with that extra hour, it makes the show like,
yeah.
you know, when you're watching it, you're like, all right, is this filler? Should I stick around? Is something cool going to happen? Like, I can't even imagine if I was writing Raw as like the head writer, not just like the segment writer, where you're like, the thing that comes before it, to be like, people are going to fucking turn off the TV before this awesome segment. Why not fill the whole show with awesome segments, you know? I know it's like sounds a little Seinfeld-y, right? It's a little like, why not make the whole plane the black box? If it's the only thing that survives, it's like, why not make it all good, you know? Like, I get it. Like, I get that's what I'm saying, but I don't think it's that hard. Like, we all love wrestling so much.
Right.
It doesn't even have to be that good for us to think it's good, you know?
Yeah.
They just go out of their way to make it bad, you know? So you're like, when you put Retribution on there and you've
I was just
buried
say,
them entirely, when they come on, I mean, if I'm some dude at home and I'm watching and you don't have to do this podcast, I might just be like, I'm going to turn this off. I'll fast forward this. It's like it's not worth their time, the whole 3 hours.
I think obviously the thing that we love about wrestling is the theater aspect of it. But I think that what we're seeing is right is that like we'll just talk about WWE because I think all wrestling obviously has this problem too. But like WWE, they focus on the sort of archaic like mechanics of, you know, does this person win or lose, and how does that make them look if other, you know, in the future for other matches, and then they have the story to kind of like make those chess pieces move around rather than just writing interesting things about people who fight each other for a living.
Yeah.
And so it's, they're just still kind of not doing their own genre the best way.
Which is funny because that's what I feel like happens on kind of SmackDown in a way. It's like there, it's like it just feels. And but then you get to Raw, and I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? What's right. going on here? It's like all over the place. It's like it's scattered around, but in it is like a really scary Fiend character and this whole like cinematic adventure that we're going on with it. And then there's this like really beefed up man who is glorious looking and sticking swords into the ground. So right. it's like, where does this
Well, I guess you can make the argument that you can watch wrestling like a sporting event where a lot of times people will like watch SportsCenter. But like, it's kind of interesting. If I didn't do this podcast, I would listen to this podcast and then watch the show maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I might be like, you know, but I also had a really interesting thing this week, like where it just happened to be my schedule was light on Friday and Monday. Mm. So I watched Raw and SmackDown live.
Yeah.
And man, it's so funny. It's a lesson I'll always keep learning, is that it's so much more enjoyable to just put on. Like I a lot of times I'm catching up on wrestling. It's just because of the sheer quantity levels, you know?
And that's what I do.
Right?
Yeah. I watch the first 45 minutes and then I start making dinner and then I leave it on. And then by the time I'm done making dinner, I'll watch like the last like third of it. And then if I hear the Fiend's music, I'll like pop in and like see what's going on.
Right. But I'll never forget when I was writing on my wife's television show and I'd be on the road and I'd be like so grateful for the quantity. Yeah. Because I would just like had so much travel time and late night like rewrites where I was like, I need to like clear my brain, or I would just have it on a mute in the background and just have wrestling.
Record
like,
the pod.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. I'd record the pod with Tulo at 4 a.m. It was unbelievable what I was up to. Anyway, that was wild. But anyway, so the point is, going back to our thing, the thesis of what's going on right now in wrestling is that the good stuff is great. And that's yes. what we're going to talk about. And let's yeah. get mm-hmm. into it. Even though I know Newman has a gripe with this, let's lead with it. Randy versus Bray Wyatt, the Fiend. We had Alexa Bliss lead off the show on Monday in a pretty entertaining opening segment. I just want to say I really like opening segments being promo. I know it's like it was the biggest complaint against wrestling of like WWE for a long time is they would start. McMahon would come out, and yes, it did get repetitive after a while, but like I do like kicking off the show. I like when it kicks off with the show, like, hey, here's what we're setting up for the show. So I like when they do start with the segment personally. I like that there's match. They kick off with a match also, but I'm saying, I don't know. I like it. And Randy came out, and Alexa had her new Moment of Bliss set up. I like that they're adding to her character every week, like had that little doll in the table that was kind of creepy, you know?
Yeah.
So scary.
I mean, no, here's the
but
thing.
Bray, well, I'll set up the thing. Is that yeah. So then Randy came out and he cut a promo. It's Randy's like acting right now. I think he's on a fucking a very high mm-hmm. level. He seems very vested in what he's doing. He feels very like he's in the zone. It's kind of crazy. He lost the title and I'm kind of fine with it. Like, I like Drew having the title, especially with the AJ match coming up. It's kind of weird, even though he was on a roll, but, like, Randy's just picked – like, this is the year of Randy losing and it not affecting him at all, you know? Yeah. He's lost mm-hmm. a lot of big matches this year when you break it down. Edge, Keith Lee, Drew, like, all – he's lost, like, a lot of the big ones. So – but still came out looking amazing. And so, yeah, he comes out and he's like, oh, I got to find Bray's weakness. And his weakness is like, I think I found it. It's Alexa. He also connected with Bray because he was like,
we have a lot in common.
He said we have a lot in common, right? So yeah. What they have in common? What did he say again?
They got a lot of pain and that, but that he wears
his
on the outside.
Yeah, both voices.
Yeah, and then he wears his on the inside so he can blend.
Yes, which I thought was really great. But then he said,
I love Alexa
thing, Newman,
saying the voices.
So, yeah, Newman, you had an opinion about Alexa being Bray's weakness.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Preface this with everything that's happening is still A+. I just think that it makes – maybe it's not the best choice. Maybe it's a little McMahon's razor to say, oh, his weakness is this woman. Who he like, I guess is, are we to assume that he's into her or just wants to protect her? But I don't know. I don't think, so there's like that level, right?
Where what's McMahon's razor again?
McMahon's razor is based on the principle in logic called Occam's razor, not to be confused with Occam and Razor, the authors of Pain, that says that the most likely or the simplest explanation is most likely the correct explanation. And so McMahon's razor is, you know, the least interesting idea is the most likely idea they're going to go with.
Oh, that's so good. I love hearing you explain it. I love the Occam and Razor part. As for every time. Yeah, we're saying that.
So I think like, so there's that aspect of it where like, I it's a little lazy to have Alexa be the weakness of the Fiend. Then on top of that, I don't think the Fiend needs a weakness or should have a weakness. He can lose and it doesn't matter. Because he still changes you. That's like kind of the way that he works. And Bray, like Bray Sweater Bray, he might have a weakness and it might be Alexa for the reasons that they're kind of implying with the Fiend. But it just doesn't quite click for me that she would be the weakness. Because not to go back on what I said before about like this archaic kind of mechanics about making people look right. Like versus not. But like, I think she should be more of a threat than just like a foil in this situation and like a prop to like piss the Fiend off, because she's, I don't know, they could use it to make her even more violent.
I think, right. I think, but this is like a really good, this is the zone that I wish this podcast could be in, meaning the writing, and it's a very low bar of the writing makes sense, but it's not your preference, right? You're like, it's not bad writing. Right. Like because if you think about the origins of the Bray Alexa storyline, Alexa came out and then she like wiped his face and he was like, felt weakness, right? He was like, what is this? I don't feel this normally. And you have these moments that make it make sense where it's like, yes, they don't have some like, they haven't had some like long, like love affair or whatever it is. Like some, I don't know what you call it. It's not like romance or kinship, whatever it is. I don't know what their relationship is. But they've done enough that it makes sense where if they want to go this way, they can. You just – you don't like it. That right. That's good. Like, that's fine. That's like – hey, that's like any show where you're like right. – well, like you're like, I didn't like that choice. But most of the time, wrestling is just like it makes no sense where it'll be like, all right, you're his weakness, but then the next week they drop it. You right. know, like
– Well, yeah. I mean, and that's a great point. And I think that like it is like – you said it, it's a choice. It's just not my preference, but at least it's a choice. Like it's a deliberate story, like choice, which right. is what we don't get a lot.
Well, I think we've yet to determine what weakness actually means too. Is weakness a win-loss thing? Is weakness a destroying the Fiend thing? Is weakness a vulnerability thing? What is weakness? Because clearly weakness is to him, he came out and wanted her back. I just don't, I'm like, all right, you know,
right. I think so also I need another way back. I don't think that's what he did. Is that I think he was going to attack Randy, but what he did was he picked her up so he couldn't get close.
Right.
Right. So it was like, right. Oh, now you're holding her. It's like the equivalent of like, you know, you hold someone, like the daughter, yeah, somebody's hostage. Daughter hostage. And you're like, yeah. You can't arrest me. Like, you know, like, right. It's like that. And he, so I thought that was kind of cool, but I would
and
say
Randy
this.
Is, yeah. And Randy's also a guy that's been known to, it doesn't matter. Yeah. What happens? Like he can. Yeah, he also gave Beth Phoenix an RKO. So. Right.
Well, he has IED, so yeah. Intermittent right. Explosive disorder.
Right.
Which, by the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go on YouTube, Google that right now. That is Randy's promo, which it, for me makes Randy the best. He has an actual diagnosed disorder in kayfabe called intermittent explosive disorder, where he actually can't control himself, and you have to respect his disorder, where he can't control that he RKOs people out of nowhere. It's like he's actually Randy in kayfabe is mentally ill, right?
Yeah,
I'm looking at it right now. Randy Orton on WWE.com. Randy yeah. Orton and IED, the facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, admitted that he suffers from intermittent explosive disorder.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest promos. He's apologizing. He's like, sorry, I have an affliction. You know? Wow.
An affliction, and not just his t-shirt.
No, he's the only guy who wears affliction in a way, t-shirts that make sense.
Yeah.
It's actually it's a he diagnosis.
Wears, he wears his affliction on its on his sleeve, but
his slither on his sleeve.
Oh god, Randy's the fucking best. He's like walking new metal. He's so good. But the thing about The thing about Bray's weakness, if you want to get the writing to be even slicker, we were texting about this, is that we already have Bray's weakness. Bray's weakness is his losses as Fedora Bray. It's his failures as Fedora Bray, a character that he believed was, like, he believed that he deserved more. He was underappreciated. And these are all the guys who beat him when he was that character. So you kind of have that already. Right. And you're like, that feels like a really interesting way to go for Randy.
He should come out in a rocking chair. Like, instead of, he'll sit down, he kicks Alexa Bliss's chair out of the way. He grabs a rocking chair and he sits in it for the interview.
Right. So I think that, you know, anyway, that'll be interesting. Do you think this leads to a cinematic match?
I think so.
I think definitely, right?
Yeah.
I think they want to produce the shit out of this.
You think they do and a Randy House of Horrors again? A rematch?
Something, but Randy's been on a groove with those produced matches. Remember the greatest wrestling ever? The greatest wrestling match ever was a produced match, too.
In the Performance Center.
Right. So I can see it. I think it's time. We haven't gotten one in a while, too, since the Swamp match with Braun, right? So
yeah. I think the interest, what I'm kind of keyed in on is what the Fiend does now, or what Alexis does now, to show Randy that they know what his weakness is too. Like how deep and dark they're willing to go to say, no, you're not the scary one here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause I think Randy should be the first guy to maybe get fuck with Fiend. And I think that's where they're heading. Like, we should not isn't Randy so awesome?
He's really great, and 2 years ago I would have fought you on that, but I mean, this year has just been
undeniable.
Super. Yeah, I mean, well, that's because you were not sympathetic to his disorder. I didn't know.
I didn't realize it was ableist. I didn't realize.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. I think that's gonna be fun. We'll see them do probably they're gonna do something at TLC, right? With the two of them. That should be pretty fucking cool. That pay-per-view shaping up nice. Let's talk about we briefly touched on AJ Styles versus Drew McIntyre, but man, can you not wait to see that fucking match?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, two guys at the top of their game again. I mean, it's like AJ's all of a sudden doing incredible work out of nowhere. He is constantly reinventing himself, not reinventing himself, but finding new ways to be himself. Like, it's so crazy. Now he's got Amos next to him, this huge 7'5" guy, and he's getting carried out like a little kid, screaming and yelling and like manipulating a plan because he knows he probably can't be Drew. So he's trying to get Miz to cash in and win because he knows he can beat Miz. It's like, what is going on? AJ, you're the man, dude.
And like, I normally hate the like sort of wrestling trope of like little wrestler with the big bodyguard. But it's working so well, and it's so funny.
Because it's so drastic.
It is.
Like, he's big. Like, literally, he towers over everybody.
Literally 2 feet taller. Yeah. Like two full
more.
Yeah. He's like three. He's like a foot taller than Braun Strowman.
I mean, that guy's huge.
Yeah.
Gigantic.
Yeah, but also, and Drew's big too, so it's kind of interesting how that's going to factor in. And AJ, you know, the only thing I'll say about AJ, like, if you think about it, the Survivor Series run, it was like, yeah, he's funny. It's like, I really don't need AJ to be funny at all. Like, I need him to be, like, phenomenal. Like, it's kind of like a reminder to how good he was this week. I almost forgot for a second that he's the best wrestler in the world.
Still
in his 40s. You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of like, you know, it's like, I just want to see him in Drew. Like, I mean, think about what we're going to see. We're clearly going to see a phenomenal forearm into a Claymore, right?
Oh,
like,
my
God. I mean, that's
going to
be insane, you know?
He's going to do like 6 backflips to sell it.
Yeah. It's going to be really, that's going to be really fun. And he's going to get carried out.
He's going to kick his head right off. Yeah. And then Amos is going to carry him out in his arms like a little child.
Has AJ wrestled a guy one-on-one that big? Brock, right?
Yeah.
Cena.
Like, Brock, but I think Drew
Cena's big, but not like Drew's huge, right?
Yeah.
AJ's the best, man.
Yeah, but Drew AJ standing there for, you know, is gonna, like, that's a huge size differential. AJ has AJ wrestled. He doesn't look that bad next to Roman. Roman's kind of like not. There's just some of these guys, it's not really about height even. It's just kind of like total mess. Have we seen AJ versus Braun one-on-one?
I feel like we have.
Yeah, I feel like we have too.
We had to have, right?
I don't know. I love that match just because even with Riddle and Lee, they both, like, after that match was over, it's like they both had like little segments after. You know, Riddle's right. going to do his thing, and then Keith Lee's. I mean, Keith looked awesome in that match too, and like he's clearly playing his part. They're going all strength with him, and how impactful all of his things look. Like, he's not doing a single solitary move that's not getting you to go, oh damn! Like every single time.
Yeah. Also, Keith. They seem to get Keith Lee. If you go on WWE's Instagram, like, they had a whole thing being like, "What's your favorite Keith Lee move?" Like, they're giving him a big documentary that looks really cool. They're going all in on Keith, which is very cool.
I have the thing for him.
What?
Put Keith Lee in the Hurt Business. Suit him up. MVP is now the leader. He doesn't wrestle. Keith is the main event title guy. You got Bobby as the United States, and you have Shelton and Cedric. And even put Ricochet in there. I don't give a fuck. Have him go for all the titles.
Too low. Is it weird to just throw every black guy in the same stable?
Clearly, but that's what they're doing. Why? So how is it weird?
It is what they're doing.
They did a whole promo about the Nation of Domination. They had the whole thing. Right. Like they said, this is what they're doing. So you know what? Keith Lee, that is the perfect place for him. He's got MVP as his mouthpiece. The guy is all he does. His business is hurting. Right. I mean, he can't. And if he put him in a suit and gave him some dope black and gold gear, I mean, he's missing identity. He's missing whatever it is. He'd be perfect.
I think I know what you're saying. I think what you're saying is like, I didn't mean to like throw you under the bus there. I just mean like,
No.
I think what it is it's like, I think the underlying point is that like the Hurt Business is similar to New Day. Feels like WWE struggles to write for the black performers, you know, at like, so when they kind of do their own thing and like show the writers, like, here's what you should do for us, it succeeds,
which is, you know, which is 100% what they're doing, because you could tell MVP has like almost probably 75% total creative control there. Like, I feel like most of the time he's like free, like freestyling it a little bit, you know.
And I don't know if I've asked this on the pod before, but has MVP always been this good, or is this a new thing for him?
No, MVP has always been pretty good on the mic.
Yeah.
I never was like a huge fan of his, like when he was, you know, first, you know, back in the, like, I don't know, when was he around? Like, he was around like 05, you know, right. Like
when I was
06. I was watching when I remember when MVP showed up. But he had a cool gimmick. Like his gimmick as MVP was like literally like his gimmick was like
all in.
a very valuable sports player, right? You know, like the biggest free agent in sports. Yeah. And like, he signed him. He came out with like, you know, in football, like the blow up tunnel used to come out with that. And like, it all looked awesome, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know how he kind of let it go. This seems like he's in his best zone right now.
Yeah. And I like how he kind of has made the U.S. title his own, you know, like even though it's on Bobby. But like, right. He redesigned it. That was what he was like popular for having back in the day. So like, I think it's only a good place for wrestlers who are especially like in a weird zone for them to be. Like Retribution, no. Hurt Business, yes.
Right. What's two sidebars before we talk about Roman KO? But what is Carmella's gimmick? This untouchable thing. What is it? It almost to me is like a little too undefined, right?
It's down the road of she's telling the story how she became champion and then she lost it and then she started doing everything that everybody wanted her to do, which is dance and do the whole thing, but realized that wasn't her and now she has to be herself, which is like this goddess, I guess, untouchable. That's what I got out of it. It's a great counter to Sasha because they, I mean, wow, 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 wow. Look, both of them look insane. Like, mm-hmm. If this is a match at TLC,
Tulo's really trying to get this catchphrase over. His wah, 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 wah.
I mean, wah, wah, wah,
wah, wah, wah, stop the clock. It's like on Howard. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, yeah. It, for the Howard Stern fans, you know what I'm talking about. Whoa, 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 stop the clock.
This is the kind of thing I'm in for the pageantry, you know, more than anything. Like, I mean, they're going to look, all their gear is going to look amazing.
I'm interested to see where she goes with that. I just wish she cut that promo and it was like a little generic. I used to be a good guy, now I'm a bad guy because I hate you guys.
Well, I mean, that shit with Sasha coming in from the back and putting her hand out. You got the boss on the rings. That moment was, I thought was a classic, perfect backstage segment. Like, really well done. Whoever wrote that, cheers to you. Because that, I like popped when I saw that champagne glass come in. I was like, hell yeah, here we go.
I think that was like awesome. And I think Sasha, I'm excited for the feud between the two of them. I'm actually just pointing out my one thing, which is like, I want a little more clarity from Carmella, and I hope we get it.
We have like 3 weeks until TLC. So I'm hoping that it's less wrestling for them and just building up promo wise and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
All right, I'm going to randomly jump over to AEW for a second. Tulo, I got a little present for you. Okay, ready?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. It's the last of the true hybrids. I got it?
This is Angelico. Jack Evans theme song. I don't know. What are they called? Like HN2?
Yo, we're the hybrid two, bro.
Whatever they're called. And it was in my notes from last week, and I want to just address it here on the main pod because this is the kind of nuance we get into here. So, you wrote, does anything annoy you on the Facebook group? You said, does anything annoy you guys more than Angelico's, the way he enters? And it was in my notes, hilariously, as something that I fucking love. And it is, but I agree with you. It does irk me. Like, yeah, it is, but I think it's proper heel heat. This dude, Angelico, comes out and does the most annoying fucking Euro trash.
casual. Annoying.
And you're like, fuck this guy. I would never be friends with this fucking guy. Yeah. He's got his abs out. He's like a hot dude also. He kind of looks exactly like Fandango, right? And
he lets his like little robe thing drape off of him as he's doing like a shimmy dance move.
Yeah. Yeah. He strikes me as like with that whole vibe is like the guy who like is still kind of like rolling at like 6 a.m. because he did coke and didn't tell anybody else that he was doing coke. Like, right. So like 3 hours into his trip, he did some coke and then like he's still kind of vibing and everyone else is like, I need to
the next rave. Like,
yeah. And also, by the way, both of those guys can go, you know? They're both
botches in their matches always, though, it feels like. Well, it's just too much.
Yeah, okay, but I think that's also kind of – it also kind of plays at the heel heat. Listen, what I'm saying is that, like, I call them Euro Trash, and I want to give – Euro Trash was the name of a comedy wrestling tag team. These guys used to do at UCBW back in the day at UCB. I forget who did it, but I wish I'd give them credit. But, like, I wish these guys had a little more clarity of character with it. But that isn't a good. I just wanted to point out, like, I love every time he does it, I pop for it. You know, it's like great I said, commitment. You know,
I wish it was like less of a prop of a thing that he did when he came out. Like, you know, like perfect. You know who they remind me of? Yeah. Oh, I know everybody gets so upset when you compare AEW to a WWE thing, but they remind me of Grandmaster Sexy and Scotty Too Hotty. Like that. Yeah. That is them when they came out. You were just, even though it was fun, they're like the opposite of it. I'm like, these guys are just like such douchebags, like the way they dance it. But they need to incorporate that shit. Yeah.
Am I too cool?
Yeah. Hey. Like, they were an annoying fun. But yeah, this is crazy. It's the last of the true hybrids. Yeah.
By the way, if you didn't notice Angelico's walkout, or you just kind of like it didn't fit, now you'll never not see
yeah.
it. You will
now
always...
you never not see it.
And not only that, I bet you're going to get excited to see it. But I think they're about to feud with the Bucks, right?
It seems no, they're yeah, they might.
Yeah,
be.
I think they're gonna because they're probably gonna lose to the Bucks. They're like a good spot they're fest. Good guys to feed to the Bucks. You know what I mean? Anyway, yeah. Guys, keep that. We'll talk more about that later on the Zoom call.
Yeah.
Become a patron, patreon.com. Give this podcast a couple bucks if you're digging it. Come on, don't be a jerk for once.
Mm.
Okay, let's talk about Roman versus KO. Where it looks like we're getting. So if you look at those three feuds. Those four feuds, Randy versus Bray, AJ versus Drew, Roman versus Kevin Owens, Carmella versus Sasha. A lot of cool stuff brewing. A lot of cool stuff brewing in this time of year. I don't want to hear people complaining that WWE sucks.
I'd even stretch it. Bailey and the EST, Bianca Belair feud, and two. That's going to be a dope match as well.
That's in my notes, which I've shared with you for this episode. I said, let's make this work, was my note. I said, let's make this work. I would want to see a women's feud, a women's grudge feud, not for the title, that gets proper airtime and gets people engaged. Let's do it.
Outside of NXT, it usually doesn't exist anywhere else because they don't even know what to fucking do on Raw that they have to include Asuka into the tag team title picture, which – the women's tag team titles should just go to NXT because that's the only place where they'll ever be successfully used. They're just a waste on Raw and SmackDown.
There's no women's tag division in NXT, right?
No, but they can easily make one. Like, no problem.
Okay. But yeah, anyway, Kevin Owens. So a lot of people share with me. I think the main thing to talk about is the show. There was some really – the way it's booked, this Roman KO feud, they're not just, you know, they're not just recklessly – pairing up. This is not KO winning a tournament and now he's wrestling Roman Reigns. No, this is KO having a fundamental problem with how Roman Reigns runs his family coming from a family man. He does not like the way that he's treating Jey Uso. And it's gotten personal. Even Roman tweeted out, you should have made this about the title, not about my family. Now you're fucking dead. You know? It's kind of cool because it feels like Kevin Owens is standing up for what he believes in, but he feels like they're properly booking Kevin Owens for the first time as the every family man. This is the thing that I thought we were getting for him when he came back, when he was cutting those promos in the bowling alley, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's a babyface, and he's getting fed to Roman, and it almost feels like one of us fighting Roman Reigns, like the unstoppable guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's feels like exactly what you should be doing with Kevin Owens. Where are you guys at?
I think it just reminded me of why Kevin Owens is one of my guys, why he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, why he can't – I mean, there's no – the guy is on the – I always say it. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. Kevin Owens is a legit national treasure. We don't deserve him in WWE because he's that much better than it, honestly. Like,
he's like, you're a little stupid, but you're actually really stupid.
Kevin, he just gave you a compliment. Come on.
The minutiae of the grays in his beard and, like, you know, like just things that are from top to bottom. The guy is like.
You're giving him credit for his beard?
Letting the gray grow out shows a new side of him. I think there's a lot of little details about people constantly bringing up his past and him not being able to trust himself because people don't – like no one ever trusted him. This is a whole complex of Kevin Owens, and it's fucking the best version we've ever had of him, honestly.
You know, I kind of had a thought about KO where I was like, they tried to feed us like kind of like Randy Orton 2.0 with Kevin Owens for a long time. Where it's like he can't like control himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of had like the blank stare in his eyes. He would like powerbomb people and be like, "Oh, I don't know why I did that." And like that does work, but it's tough to pull off when Randy Orton exists, you know, because it feels so much more natural from him. So Kevin Owens really does work as a babyface, in the way of like just being the everyman. And I hope they can get it over here and like. Family is really the key with Kevin Owens here. Because, like, you have Jey Uso, who's getting Fredo'd out by Roman, where he's, like, straight up, like, and they're doing it every week. I called it out. I said, when I saw sneaking suspicion of it, I was like, I think they're doing a Fredo thing with Jey. And then they're doing it. Like, this week, Jey, Roman retained his title or whatever. He beat Drew McIntyre at Survivor Series. Jay helped him out. And he's like, yo, I helped you out. Like, right? Same thing as that, you know, moment where Fredo wait, what are you saying? What are you saying? I'm making the point. Jay can't do it right. He's always kind of doing it wrong. He doesn't totally get it.
I would say almost less Fredo, more Christopher to Tony. You know, like, I think it's more like, you know, Tony's the bigger guy. He's the head of the table. Christopher is now, like, off his rocker. He's off his edge.
It's the same metaphor, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I never got, like, I always thought Fredo was just more of, like, a little bitch. You know, like, I'm not getting that from Jay. Jay's a tough dude.
No,
like,
I never got that. Gun to the head, I think that the Fredo comparison's way more cartoony, and it's way more of a goof. And I think there's still room for a Fredo, but Christopher Moltisanti, by the way, we're talking about. He went Sopranos. I think, exactly. Christopher's trying to make money his own way, and it's kind of like not the right way. Yeah.
This doesn't get over without Jey Uso. I'm sorry, but like honestly, like none of this Roman heel stuff really gets to the point where it is now without Jay. If Jay's not there or Jimmy, whatever, like however they wanted to do it, like this guy is absolutely killing it. And he's like, makes it all believe it's legit perfect television. Like he can't beat it.
Tulo, this is part of Tulo's brilliance, his broken brilliance here. they should Fredo Jimmy. They Christopher Jay and Fredo Jimmy. Jimmy should be like a total fuck up. Blowing the family's money. He should be like trying to bang every diva. No, I don't know, whatever. I'm putting it back in Godfather times, a more misogynistic time, you know?
Well, they have a very interesting thing where Jimmy and Naomi, right? So it's like Jimmy's going to have to fall in line. Now you have Naomi telling him not to. And now Jimmy's going to have to convince Naomi to fall in line too. Bring everybody into the mix. Like we've been talking about it, but don't do it too quick. Go down the line because I honestly think the match of the year would be Jimmy versus Jay, because they have to do it. And then Jay beats Jimmy and has to convince him that now, like, that's the convincing factor.
With Roman watching in like a throne suit.
Yeah,
like from the skybox? I mean, shots of him in the skybox, right?
Yeah.
We need Roman in a skybox so bad.
Oh. So bad.
Oh, God.
Paul has too many like little hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah,
put those back. They're not for you.
Well, that's something Skylar nailed in his. Let's just call it a promo. Skylar Aston's promo in the beginning of the show is he did say, which, and I have pointed it out before, is that Roman is succeeding, not because of Paul. You know, he's succeeding with Paul, and it's kind of amazing. He almost doesn't need Paul. Congrats to Romans. I mean, he's fucking killing it. All right, I got two more subjects I want to bring up, and then we'll move on here because we have to record another podcast later today. We have to watch more wrestling and then record again.
I'm still to finish NXT. Jesus.
Okay. We briefly touched on Sami Zayn, and he's going to have a feud with Big E. We'll see where that goes. That sounds really cool. I'm really excited for Zayn. It is interesting. They are pushing Zayn. It's the second time we're seeing a progressive person as a heel character in WWE, which I really want to point out.
And like, the irony is that Daniel Bryan was the other one.
Daniel Bryan was talking about saving the planet and getting booed, right?
Yeah.
And he was telling people hot dogs are bad for you, getting booed. Which, by the way, is a representation of our society. Like, Michelle Obama was trying to get people to not be obese. And people are like, stop telling us what to eat, fucking Michelle Obama. Remember, like, they labeled her as, like, pretentious and blah, blah, blah for, like, trying to get people to understand health, you know? And so it is a reality. This is kind of heel, but it is confusing to me because they called him, like, a conspiracy theorist, Sami Zayn, right?
No, he's saying that that's what they're making him out to be. Like there's some WWE is out against him. So that's why he's doing all these things and these maniacal heel things to win is because he truly believes that they don't want him to win.
That makes more sense.
So like he's calling them out for being like the evil doers, you know, but in reality he really is. Like it's amazing. And he keeps focusing on time. Like He 10 second he beat Shelton Benjamin in He beat Apollo Crews in 10 minutes and then 10 seconds.
Well, he lost
and then
Bobby.
It only took him 3 to beat Daniel Bryan. So now here's a little tidbit, real quick history note. I learned this. Big E used to, when his NXT debut, the 5 count, he did the 5 seconds. And like he in his promo, he was like 5, and he's like, you know how that used to go, and then counted to 10. So I'm like, I'm all into what Sammy's doing.
You want some
like,
Steiner math?
And I think he's actually, in a unique way, he's really made that IC title, like, awesome again. Like, but
doesn't it suck how bad that title looks? Like, I think that's my problem. Listen, I don't hate the design, but it's so fucking, like, forgettable. It literally, like, color-wise, blends into, like, the TV.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, the other one, like, was like, oh, that's the IC title. It was, like, way
it's not
more
gold enough or like silvery enough.
Yeah, it had like the white like, strap. It felt like it matched. Like it's kind of like the title looks so unimportant in a weird way, even though it's a nice design. You know,
I think if Big E was to win it, it would look amazing on Big E.
Yeah, well, I mean, Big E's fucking awesome looking dude. You know, So anyway, but it's like he got to call out Thanksgiving, which I thought that was like I kind of like applauded WWE for him calling, being like this holiday's fucked up because Sammy's a Canadian, you know, and he really believes this shit. Like that's very authentic for him. He goes like his comments against America are like probably make McMahon puke. I mean, you know, Sammy's not even allowed to wrestle in Saudi Arabia. So, he's not even allowed to enter Saudi Arabia because he's Syrian,
has to do
right?
With, yeah. And Jewish, right? Isn't he a Jew?
No, I think he's Muslim.
No, he's Muslim. That's right. Yeah, yeah. But it's because he's Syrian specifically. You're right. Yeah.
So you're like, he actually, so it's like, this is a really nice job of WWE finding what's interesting about a guy and bringing their real persona into wrestling and that perfect, like, work shoot stuff for Sammy. Him dressing like fucking Castro. It's really good.
Yeah.
Sammy is killing it.
Killing it.
And for me though, it's like it's I actually to tie this back a couple steps to Angelico, right? Where it's like when a heel does something that
don't say it, I'll have to play it.
That he knows is gonna like piss people off, right? I have to wonder with someone like Angelico, is he doing that walk? Because he's thinking, oh, this is like a corny way to walk and it's going to make people mad? Or does he genuinely think, I'm walking cool, right? And he just doesn't understand.
Yeah, the fact that you don't know is really good.
Right. But, okay. But then with Sammy, though, it's like he's dressing like Castro because he knows that it's going to piss off the people that he wants to piss off.
Yeah.
The imagery. He's using it intentionally on purpose.
I agree. It's fucking great. Something awesome about the hell of a kick being his finish also feels like a big military boot to the face. Dude, like that also kind of fucking works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that match versus Daniel Bryan was – that brainbuster on the outside of the apron was fucking insane. Right. And this is a guy – I mean, Daniel Bryan was retired for, like, brain injuries. Like, and he's just taking all the spots against his head again. Like, it's insane. Yeah.
I agree. Daniel Bryan's hair looks awesome, too.
But I would assume that Roman's going to beat Kevin, and then we're going to get Kevin versus Sammy, like, a feud from probably Rumble to Mania, right? I mean, it has to happen.
For the
like,
that's a small – that's really –
Ladder match at WrestleMania.
Ladder match.
War games!
Also, if I'm WWE, I let those guys do pile drivers. Just let them do an indie style match and open the show with a ladder. Let them do package pile drivers. Just be like, guys, do what you did on the indie
apron bomb. Open,
tear the house down.
Tear the house down. Do that.
Okay, last thing I want to bring up before we go. I want to just talk about Aleister Black and the lack of Aleister Black. Aleister Lack. Yeah, that would be – if this was like PTI, right? That's what it would be in the sidebar.
I got a feeling I know what's going on.
Well, okay. Well, we'll go to that in a second because I'll read, you know, a little bit
you
of Donnie Dirt
coming,
sheets.
Folks.
I hit the
you
sheets for this. Coming. And the reason I hit the sheets for this, I try to avoid the dirt sheets, but I was like, where's Aleister? And I got really curious because his wife was fired from WB. And I'd heard this, and take this with a grain of Meltzer,
This is where we need Aaron.
Because he goes, there was a, okay, so I'll read this. This is Aleister Black. This is what Dave Meltzer said about Aleister Black. So basically he's saying that they don't have a storyline for him right now. They don't have a story, so they're just keeping him off TV. They don't know what to do with him. But also he was saying that there was a point when Aleister Black was considered as one of the names that would go against Brock at WrestleMania 36. The other name was Drew McIntyre. Everyone else who was involved in the decision-making process voted for McIntyre. When it came down to who should beat Lesnar, who was leaving after Mania, the two choices in Heyman's eyes were Drew McIntyre and Aleister Black. Although McIntyre got the main event nod, Heyman intended to protect Black and book him like a top-flight star after WrestleMania. And I don't know what happened. Is Heyman not the writer anymore? I don't follow any of that shit because it's so fucking boring. But I don't care who's the head writer. The head writer of the show, his name is Vince McMahon. He does everything. If you're the writer there, it means you agree with him. If you don't, you get fired. Seems to be what the pattern is. I don't care. But, yeah, now they don't have to do Aleister Black. You know, it's interesting because Aleister Black feels like the easiest guy to get over to me. I don't know the thought process was. You guys think about his. He had a feud with KO. They threw an eye patch on him for no fucking reason. Nothing they've done with. They've set this guy up for such failure. But it's crazy they would just like have him wrestle Brock Lesnar without establishing him at all. Like Drew, you can really do that with. By the way, Drew is crazy established. Drew's story is so good. You know. And by the way, Rhea has a really cool story also similar to that where she could be like, I went to fight Charlotte. It was supposed to be my big moment. COVID happened. I lost. So Rhea's actually set up nicely in a very similar way. But like Aleister, come on, like sell us to him as the Dark Overlord. How this kick fucking knocks you into an abyss. Like you need to take 10 weeks off after this kick. You're never the same after that before you're going to throw him at Brock Lesnar. Like, of course everyone voted for Drew. He's nothing, you know?
Just think about the last time we saw his like one of his entrances where he's stalking to the ring, grabs the rope, he walks in, he flips over, he does his thing. It's like that was like the most exciting thing about wrestling.
Yeah, the guy would do a backflip into to sit cross-legged.
Forward roll. Yeah, like same thing with Ricochet. It's like we saw Ricochet's entrance for the first time in like months on Raw, and he's been on Raw every week. I feel like we haven't seen a Ricochet. I was like, this shit was the best. When this guy's music used to hit, you were like in awe of both these guys. And it's just like you can't figure out how to write for them.
But like, see, Ricochet's a little trickier because Ricochet doesn't have this like character. Like you had a guy successfully rising from the grave, satanic gimmick. You can play this sound of like that. You have Undertaker leaving. You have this kind of gray area, you know. I mean, I don't want to step on Newman's amazing Spooky Boy versus Biker thing, but you have a guy pulling off the gray area where you could add a supernatural element where his kick hurts you, you know, in a way that's more than just the actual force of the kick. It's more than that. There's an element to it where the tombstone, same thing. That's like, you know, metaphorically, the tombstone is you falling into your grave and right. Like you literally lay in like you're in a coffin, you're dead. So it's like you're not even really thinking about the move. You're more thinking about the symbolism of being dead from it. So you're like, you have so much with Aleister. They set this guy up for such failure. And then like Vince is just gonna be like, yeah, let's have him win the Rumble. He'll get Shinsuke'd. You think that even if Vince thought he would let Aleister Black beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, the day of mid-match even, he would be like, all right, I'm Brock over. Right? I mean, there's no fucking chance because he didn't make him cool. The audience isn't gonna pop for him, you know. So anyway.
I think Aleister is getting Dean Ambrosed a little, and I think where you have a guy who has an idea as to what he thinks is cool and what he wants to do, and he's trying his best to get that through. While you have McMahon being like, "Oh, you're a devil guy. You're this is what you are. It's great," and he's trying, and so he's fighting through that like the Dean Ambrose barrier.
I want you to knock on my door and pick a fight.
So stupid.
With me.
No, it's no, like you don't want this guy to talk about fighting. That's not what you want from a dude who's that like that. He's not. There's he doesn't only fight. He goes to battle. Answer. He goes to war, right?
There's only one answer.
Yeah.
He needs to go to NXT. Him and Shinsuke,
put him in
right back to NXT. Yeah, yeah. Put Aleister Black. Actually, you know what? Honestly.
Oh, my God. And they took away his amazing song. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Because they got beef with CFOs.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I want to just say this, is that Zelina Vega has, well, who cares? WWE has enough money to pay for the song. That's awesome. You know, even if CFO is gone. Zelina Vega had two things. We said that she spoke with the head of SAG, and then she tweeted something out that said, I just had an amazing phone call.
Yeah, and, like, and Renee liked it.
Interesting. Do you guys have an ambulance match? Someone have an ambulance match?
No, Zelina would be perfect in AEW. She is exactly what they need.
Too low. You know, you shit on AEW, but who wouldn't be perfect in AEW?
Not everybody. Matt Cardona, not perfect in AEW. That guy should leave. He's got to get out of there.
Matt Cardona's not perfect anywhere. He doesn't have, like, a character, you know?
So that's what I'm saying. But not everybody is perfect in AEW. Because let me tell you something. Let me just finish my point.
There are answers to that. I was a dumb question. Fiend would be better in WWE.
No, but here's the thing. So we talk about this, you know, we talk about the two sides. We talk about this creative freedom in AEW. If you go over to AEW and you don't maximize the ability of the creative freedom when there's clearly on the other side, you don't have any of it. Apparently only the very well inner circle trusted people have it, which is like 5 to 8 people, like characters, Roman, probably, you know, Kevin Owens, whatever. But these guys go over to AEW and they think they could just willy-nilly it when it's just such a waste of time, man. It like really bothers me that Matt Cardona going over to AEW and people thinking this is a great thing when he just went over as Zack Ryder still. Like, no, man, you have the opportunity to do something special. Figure it the fuck out. Like, I'm telling you right now.
You didn't like Miro's new video game show?
I don't care what fucking Tony Khan says that he was Miro was abused in WWE. Great. But he's over here.
You're not abused when you get to wrestle John Cena at WrestleMania with a
and
tank.
And you come out of the tank.
Like, that was Tony Khan's big talking point. You know what someone makes a talking point? That in like you, it's almost like Mad Libsy, where you're like, if I say it like this, you'll think, yeah, that was stupid. And then you have to know yourself and know your opinion strong enough to go, I know you tried to just manipulate me there, but no, that thing was awesome. You're not going to convince me that being on a tank at WrestleMania wasn't the highlight of Rusev's career and wasn't a gift McMahon gave him. Even losing to John Cena at WrestleMania with a fucking tank.
I don't even know how he got here, but yeah, that was my point.
But Tulo, I think when you say that Zelina would be perfect for AEW,
that's right.
What you mean is Zelina would be perfect for AEW Dark.
Accurate.
Correct. That drop is so good.
I will give them credit. They are trending the women's division in the right direction. AEW, a lot of new things that are finally happening. They're just not – they need to start booking it, which I think after this, once winter has came – all over
when
tonight.
Winter finishes.
Once winter has finished this, all over tonight. We will.
Baby!
Winter is breathing heavy tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? I think
a little bit of the bubbly.
I've gotten so good at soundboarding.
But
how are you not a patron of this podcast? If you're listening to this podcast this far deep, you're not a patron? Come on, man. Patreon.com.
Come hang out with us later tonight, man.
You don't want to know what it is to be an artist, man? This is fucking Etsy, baby. Buy my little sweaters. Oh, man.
Speaking of sweaters, look at this drip right here.
Oh, man. Anyway.
But yeah, no.
That shirt's amazing, by the way.
I think Aleister Black is leaving WWE. I think he's got one foot out the door. He's pushing his merch. He's pushing his clothing line real hard. He's got Zelina on there promoting it. Like, I think he really doesn't like what went down.
And he's pushing it hard, but he was.
I think he's looking for a way out. It's either he goes down to
single arm rows way less than I do. I mean,
here's the thing, and here's what I noticed. I watched, yeah, you obviously putting up way more weight than it. What do you do, 100? He's doing 75? Wow. Yeah. Good job, John Silver.
Yeah, but he
body also, of a meat, body of meat.
He
man,
could just kick my ass so bad. Aleister Black, can you imagine? He kicked me in the face.
He would get. He would literally knock you out for 10 weeks.
I'm
like
so dead. I mean, so like, dead.
Edson fucking Barbosa, your head off.
Yeah.
Well, remember when he showed up to a Cow Underground wearing and one shorts though? I don't know.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I'd respect him, man. WWE is such a fucking bad show.
Bawling in Rucker Park.
You have a guy who literally raises from a coffin, and you're like, let's put him on some Rucker Park fucking Umbros.
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
He's got a basketball match against Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson.
I will say this, like, seeing Kevin Owens on NXT just makes me think about how much they need to just put all those guys on NXT and just let them fucking run. There's so many missed. You have Ciampa, Gargano, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke, Finn. Just like let them create their own fucking superstar show and do it in NXT with Triple H. Like if we're gonna just waste guy Ricochet, all these guys, like just let them run amok in NXT. It's perfect for all of them. I'm like sick of watching this shit.
If you hadn't heard our Patreon episode last week, I think it was me, Tulo, and Shebs.
No, I wasn't there.
We went in Shebs a whole. Oh, it was just me and Shebs.
I don't hold me accountable on something that Shebs is on if I wasn't there. Please, God.
No, dude, Shibiro. Well, Shibiro did two things, by the way. You're missing out if you don't hear. Shibiro was talking about. We were talking about. We both went into a whole tear about how great Kevin Owens was on NXT last week.
Yeah, he good,
so fucking good. If you want to watch one thing, if you don't feel like watching NXT, watch the Kevin Owens show. He pulls off a perfect wrestling sketch in the middle of NXT. It's
amazing.
It's really funny. It's funny. It's good. It was awesome. He was awesome, and then he was great on commentary.
I honestly think Kevin I did a great job. Kevin Owens sold that. What? Like I sold that to. I sold that to Shebs. Shebs hasn't watched NXT in 3 months, he said. And like last week, me saying Kevin Owens is going to be on commentary got him like interested and wanted to watch it. But he's also a man of the business, and he'll say he had to watch it because he was doing the pod and the bonus episode, and he couldn't let fans down.
Shebs is texting me. He watched Io Shirai versus Rhea because we pushed it. He'll watch it. If we tell him something's good, he'll watch it. That's a good thing about Shebs. He lives by principle. You tell him something's good, he'll watch it. Anyway, but we'll see. You guys think Alistair's leaving? You think he's leaving?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think it's going to happen very soon. Immediate, honestly.
Yeah.
No, he'll hold out. He'll do his 90 days. Him and Zelina kind of together. They'll spend some time and blast out their Twitch and their clothing line.
Immediate buy for Tony Khan, right?
Oh, yeah. Immediately. Yeah.
I mean, he'll make Tony Khan look so good because you'll come in, have him wrestle. Let's hope that Aleister leaves. I don't need him in. They're not gonna have him meet his
We're at this really great time, and I'm not paying attention to it, but I'm seeing Impact is doing a lot of things creatively too. There's a lot of new platforms that are emerging during this COVID era where honestly, if WWE isn't using wrestlers, these wrestlers now, especially with those stipulations of third party things and stuff like that, wrestlers are going to find a way to just get out of their contracts and go. And I don't think WWE even cares because they know the money spot and what they have. They don't want to waste time trying to create shit for people that they don't believe in anymore. You know, like they'll go.
Dude, if I'm Shinsuke, I go back to New Japan like
later, so,
right?
Like right now.
I'll just go over there and just be a god over there, you know? Oh, anyway. All right. Look, we need to save our voices for winter is coming. We are T-minus. We're less than 2 hours away from winter is coming here, which is pretty exciting. I'm excited to watch it. And, I mean.
Make sure you got the wood, right? Extra wood?
Oh, yeah. So I texted Tulo. Make sure you guys make sure you have your firewood stocked. You're stocked up on firewood because winter is coming. War Games. So is War Games. What is War Games Saturday? No, War Games is next Wednesday?
Sunday.
Sunday the 6th.
Wait, it's this Sunday?
Yeah.
Wait, this is the go home pod for War Games?
Yeah, this is the we haven't even talked about NXT. It's going to be
well,
All right. Well, cuz we're not going to talk about it, but real quick, I really hope that the fourth member of Shotzi's team is like someone badass and it's not like EO or something. I hope it's like last year, Kevin Owens was the fourth member. I hope it's someone like main roster down, maybe Charlotte or like something, Asuka, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Just make it like a huge thing because that match is going to steal
Pregnant
the
Becky?
Show. Pregnant Becky would be sick.
That'd be so funny.
Like, I'm way more hyped about I'm way more hyped about the women's match than the men's War Games match. It's not even close.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Maybe you Tulo want to put out a Patreon episode Monday after War Games?
Perfect.
We record. All right. So we'll do that. We'll do War Games.
Or we could do a post live show too, and then call it a day. We give AEW people their satisfaction. We'll give the NXT patrons their satisfaction. We'll bang.
Do you require satisfaction?
I ain't getting no banana.
I mean, Tulo, I gave you a Hamilton reference and you didn't even take it. Anyway.
I can never be satisfied.
Okay, that's okay. All right, listen.
That's what Kenny's. Someone you idolize. That's Kenny's motto. He can never be satisfied.
Kenny's you. Gimmick, you said, is a virgin.
I've never
right?
been that's satisfied.
Biggest virgin in the world.
By the way, if that was actually his gimmick, I mean, he's already one of my Alexander guys, but he would be Hamilton. So much more one of my guys. If someone's gimmick was being a virgin, right. I love it. I mean, when your gimmick is vulnerability, like fucking Lil Dicky, his gimmick being like, I have a deformed penis, you cannot have nothing but respect for that. Like, you have to have so much respect for it. Oh, anyway.
Hello, that's a ladies.
Great place to end this podcast, everybody. I think we did it. I think we did. Frankly, I think we did too much. Remember, everybody, join our Patreon, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes tonight. We're doing a live Zoom recording of the pod. It'll come out as a normal pod on Patreon as well. If you don't want to join the Zoom, but you can join us, you can cash in, throw up the cow sign in the window, and you can get your opinion on the show. Cow Zoom Thunderdome, our hangout watching a pay-per-view, will be December 20th, Sunday, December 20th. We're watching TLC. That should be a blast. The pay-per-view starting to look nice, like we said. And also remember 5-star rankings on Apple Podcasts and write someone who's one of your guys and we'll give you a proper congratulations for having a wrestler be one of your guys. Spread the show. And remember, follow me on Instagram at Dan Black Attack. I'm posting videos, clips from the show, that are, pretty fun and funny. And sometimes we're adding fun graphics to it. Tulo, what would you like to say?
At Tiptoe with Tulo on Twitter. I do a lot of my wrestling reactions and stuff on there. So
absolutely.
On,
call at Tiptoe with Tulo. Newman, you want to plug your Instagram?
Nope.
Everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Hugs.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go to work.